Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk about here as we kick off the third hour of the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
You can join us online over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the various features that we have waiting for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. I've got the latest filing in the library case. We're not going to read the whole thing. It's 7 pages long, but we'll give you some highlights coming up here about, well, first we'll give you a clue as to what the case is all about in case you've never heard of library or you don't know what's been going on in the last few years for them. It's not good news, generally, and but it's not over yet entirely, so we'll see where this thing can go from here. But first, we go to the phones here. Dave Ridley is on the line from RidleyReport.com. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you caught me with my pants down. I have,
oh, no.
I was trying to pull up an article, and I thought I had...
Luckily, it's radio, so if we catch you with your pants down, it doesn't offend anybody.
Well, different kind of pants down. I thought I had this article on my computer, and I don't have it. I was going to talk to you about what was on this article. But have you seen the NH Journal article about NH Exit's... aerial banner?
Yes, actually. I actually just pulled it up as you called in, because I figured that's what you wanted to talk about.
When was this? When did this get posted?
Because it came out yesterday.
Oh, I hadn't seen it yet.
I hadn't seen it until today, after I spoke with the guy who wrote the author, Damian Fisher, and he had already gone to press before he talked to me, so the article had said that Freeman couldn't be reached for comment. It has now been updated with my comments, which I hadn't even known. I didn't know that had happened yet, so I'm just now seeing this sort of the newer version of it for the first time. It's a bit of a slanted story.
Of course it is.
Damian Fisher is wont to do, but the headline, for instance, is Convicted Bitcoin Money Launderer
now wants
New Hampshire to secede.
Yeah, okay. So the whole NH Exit thing has been going on like a decade, okay?
And
it's just ramped up in recent years.
Yeah, just it happened to coincide with the Fed.
If anything, people responded to, you know, what happened with the Crypto 6 thing. It's the result of a lot of people supporting NH Exit now, but it has nothing to do with...
Yeah, the term NH Exit, I mean, didn't really take off for the last couple of years, until the last couple of years. The Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, of course, has been around for more than a decade at
right.
this point, and I have been advocating for them for a very, very long time. I've handed out thousands of their flyers personally over the last decade. So to say that only now
right?
that I've been convicted that I want to secede from the United States. Ridiculous. But, Dave,
NH Exit was started long before you were convicted anyway.
Yeah, I think, Dave, you've been repping NH Exit for some time, right?
Yeah, I guess it goes back to 2016. It's just it's a sort of a child of Brexit in a sense.
Right. Yeah, so what were your comments on this this story?
Well, it was just the headline itself is so interesting. He's so, this reporter is just so eager to, how can I push this just as far as I can without making a full-blown, libelous, complete factual error? How can I make a factual error that's just implied, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when he says that, you know, you just now, it's like he's implying that you just now support independence because of the fact that you were targeted, right? That's what the headline is meant to imply.
Right.
And
Ridley, you're the one who got it off the ground. You're the one who started it. You're the one who instigated it, not you.
Well, to be fair, Dave is interviewed in the piece, so Dave gets a couple of comments. Dave said, Washington is the reason we can't have nice things, he's quoted as saying in the story. And he does. He did quote you as saying, Dave, at that quote, in part, this is a reaction to federal raids on New Hampshire's Bitcoin businesses. So maybe
the whole idea with independence is it's supposed to be like a gas tank. And whenever the federal government does something, you turn that into a gallon of gasoline and you put it in your gas tank. Right. Over time, in theory, they start not handing you that. They stop doing things like that that help fill the gas tank. Does that make sense?
He did update the story here to say Freeman said Friday the plane has nothing to do with his convictions and is not sure what Ridley is talking about.
That doesn't sound like a direct quote, was it?
What's that, Dave?
Another thing that he likes to do is kind of make it look like we're all internally fighting.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's obviously connected in a sense. Tell me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is you're taking advantage of these last, few weeks or months of freedom and spending some money on, just kind of going out with a blaze that so the conviction is very closely related to the aerial banner in my mind, but correct me if
I think it just is coincidental, honestly.
Yeah.
The whole New Hampshire exit thing happened to really take off after the Crypto 6 raid. It was 2021 when Crypto 6 raids happened against us. For listeners that don't know, you can go to thecrypto6.com. You can watch the raid video and learn more about what they did to us. But it was that summer that you had called the show, Dave, to talk about, what can we do to move this thing forward? And then Aria and I said, well, we can put up some money to help you move this thing forward. And then we found some state reps that wanted to put forward a bill to allow people to vote on independence.
I've been involved in this.
Things just fell into place,
I've been involved in this, too, from the beginning. And, the way I'm looking at it, not the decade, but I mean, the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But if you look at, the progression of things, I think you can attribute the support going from zero reps willing to support New Hampshire independence to 13 to the FBI raids involving the Crypto 6. But that had nothing to do with you supporting, independence, because you supported independence long before that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I've always been somebody who puts whatever money that I have available behind activism. That's certainly nothing new. We were just discussing during the break, Chris, that I was the executive producer of Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, and that was done before. I don't even think I had any Bitcoin at that point in my life. That would have been like 2011 that we were producing that movie. It came out in 2012. So, if I had any Bitcoin then, it would have been a scant amount and it would have been worth anything. So certainly, I'm more than happy to put good money behind good activism.
Under Ian's list of activism, this is one in a long laundry list of things. And it's not I don't even think it's been that significant by comparison to just, other projects that you've done.
Yeah. The good news about the Liberty movement, and specifically the secession movement here, is that there are multiple groups that are involved in this. So as much as Damian Fisher here, the journalist, is trying to portray me as, the leader or whatever it is, or as the front man.
Don't they always love to do that? Portray you as some sort of like God? It's really funny, which is the same reason the FBI is so interested in you, is because they have this perception that you're like behind the whole Free State Project, even though you're not.
I mean, I've been around for a long time, and I've got a radio show, so I'm visible. I've got freekeen.com, which
is one of the reasons they don't want you.
A noteworthy website, a blog site up here, but there's a lot of great organizations here, including the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, the NHI PAC, which is the Political Action
Committee.
And
things that you have nothing to do with, right?
Yeah, I'm not on the boards of either of those organizations. That's for sure. Anyway, go ahead, Ridley.
So you've got the article in front of me, and I don't. So what else in there is amusing? Because I only read about the first third of it before I archived it and said, I need to call in about this, and then I lost it.
I mean, it's just, kind of drags me through the mud as it typically does, where it kind of brings up all the allegations in the Crypto 6 case. and talks about how, you know, what the prosecutors had to say about me, all the allegations that, of course, I've been found guilty of by a quote-unquote jury of my peers. So because the jury found me guilty, the media gets to call me a money launderer,
well,
right?
If you're found guilty, you must be guilty, right?
That's what they get to say.
It's legally true, but not necessarily actually true.
Correct.
But everybody's found guilty now.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
At the federal level.
Yeah,
much.
I mean, if you look at the statistics, it's something like 98% of people plead guilty, and those who take a trial, something like 78% get found guilty. So it's not necessarily the case that just because somebody has been convicted of something that they actually are guilty of something.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there's a lot of here that's
another.
Go ahead.
That's yet another grievance that is or should be part of what's driving us toward independence. I mean, your case is just littered with the grievances, that any one of which would justify independence.
No doubt. And they will continue to provide us with reason after reason to justify independence. And, you know, right now it isn't popular. He did ask me, and he put one of the quotes in here, the article where I said, right now it's not very realistic, that is to say, independence.
Oh, no.
And there's a long way to go to change people's minds. There are a lot of questions that will need to be answered. This is one of the things that I said to him that he included here in the story. So, I mean, I would say it's a better story now than it was when he first published it, because he didn't have comments from me in there previously. But, you know, the whole end of the story, like the last half of the story, has nothing to do with secession or the airplane. And it's just a recap of Crypto 6. And then further, he talks about how I got banned from the Free State Project, or not formally distanced itself from Freeman due to I advocated the lowering of the age of consent. Yeah. So, I mean, just dragging everything out, essentially. And this is, I think somebody else put this as shooting the messenger. I think this was on social media because, okay, yeah, secession bad. Look, Ian Freeman's involved with it, right? Like, that's what they're trying to do.
It was neat to see the response to that. It's just the guy is just turning you into a martyr, and the movement, it seemed like all the liberty activists just rallying around you on the internet. But, you know, as someone who, like, you know, I technically survived, you know, the secession crises in the Balkans, bits and pieces of them, you know, I was there for part of it. And the thing that people don't understand is how fast independence goes from 0 to 60. People just weren't thinking about it in Slovenia, and then all of a sudden they were independent. And same thing in Croatia, same thing in Bosnia. All three of these places came out slightly ahead of where they would have been if they hadn't declared independence against this genocidal regime in Belgrade. And again, the Belgrade government made it happen. They made it possible. Otherwise, Yugoslavia would still be together. And that's what the UFEBs are going to do. They're going to make it impossible to be in the same country with them.
That can't happen soon enough.
I agree. And part of the whole point of this airplane that we're going to be doing, which is, again, an aerial banner. I don't know if we really talked about the details on that, but it's going to fly over Concord and Nashville and Manchester tomorrow for several hours in total. So it's going to be a long flight. And the point is to raise awareness, because a lot of people don't know about secession. They don't know that there was a movement, or that there is a movement. They don't know that there was a bill last year. A lot of people are completely in the dark about this. So they're going to be able to look up at the sky, and they'll be able to see a positive message about it.
I don't know if we want to talk about the statistics from the polling done yet, but I will say this much. I was surprised at the percentage of the population that had actually heard about CACR 32, which is the bill for independence.
I don't know if they heard about the bill numbers specifically, but
I understood
they heard about that there was something
about independence.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the percentage is shockingly high, if you ask me.
I'm not shocked by it.
Really?
Referring to the fact that there's 50% of people had heard nothing, and the other 50% had a varying heard something. Like, some people heard a lot about it, people heard a little bit about it, some people heard not much.
People heard anything about it.
Yeah. Wasn't very well covered. I mean, that's for sure.
Right.
It was pretty much ignored.
It got, I mean, more people, if up to 50% heard something, even, That's a lot of coverage, I think.
It is. I mean, you do have to wonder about these surveys because obviously the people who take these surveys are people that want to take surveys.
Yeah.
Right? And so somebody who wants to take a survey is probably more likely to be politically connected than somebody who isn't, or at least paying attention to the news. Maybe there's a factor in there for that.
I suspect you might be right because I suspect if you did a poll on the street, you won't find that.
I wonder about that.
Yeah.
Of course, it's harder to do a scientific street poll than to do.
You know, this whole scientific thing, I don't know. This is one of these things where it's like, I'm a little bit skeptical, to say the least.
Ridley, anything else you want to share tonight?
Well, by the way, if you're feeling bad about being, given such hostile coverage, that guy actually wrote an article about me and 2021 when I was doing that Bitcoin Gandhi thing, when I was dressing up as Gandhi to protest your arrest and marching across the state with a civil disobedience thing. Well, he wrote an article about that, and I've never seen anyone go so far out of their way to like make it look like I was some kind of idiot or everything.
Wow.
Everything he could find in the time that he had, he tried to make it look. What is there to be against here? I'm just walking down the highway. I'm just planning on handing out a flyer. Is that really, I know that...
No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, it's just what to expect. It's what you expect from, the media. I personally don't mind talking to Damian Fisher. You know, if he wants an interview, I'll do an interview. It's fine. I don't care. You know, I know it's going to be...
You'll talk to the guy writing a hit piece on you.
Yeah, it's fine.
I would recommend whenever you're doing that, even if it's not Damian Fisher, pretty much anyone you're interacting with, it's a reporter and they call you or whatever, you record that stuff. Even when I'm even when I'm talking to Matt Ungold,
just make sure you let him know you're recording it, otherwise it's a wiretapping charge.
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
I mean, what good, though, is that really going to do, right? Like, so you have the evidence to show that he's a liar, but we already knew that, and it's not like you're going to get the eyeballs, looking at your audio, or I guess the ears listening to your audio, because you don't have that audience that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you recording this interview? I'm recording it because does there have to be a reason?
You absolutely have a right to record an interview. Unfortunately, in New Hampshire, one of the worst parts about New Hampshire is its wiretapping laws. I mean, we like a lot of things about New Hampshire. New Hampshire is definitely the freest state, according to the Freedom in the 50 States study. But the wiretapping laws here are the worst. You legally, as I understand it, you have to inform the people you're talking to that you're recording, and you can't record. It's a misdemeanor charge if you record a conversation to which you are a party without informing the other people. It's a felony charge if you record a conversation to which you are not a party without the knowledge of the people that are involved there. And I'm not a lawyer. That's not legal advice, but that's definitely something that needs to get changed, because even at the national level, the federal laws on wiretapping are better in that if you are a party to the conversation, you can record it without telling anyone federally.
There are some nuances to that, though, in regards to, like, if you have a camera in somebody's face, that's
obvious that they're being recorded.
Yeah, that I'm trying to think how it would be phrased, but it's effectively notice in and of itself.
Yeah, and there's an argument there, and like you said, it's not real clear in the statute.
I agree.
You probably will have to argue that in front of a jury.
You're probably right.
Or a judge.
You're probably right.
If they decide to take you there. Ridley, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
Mm-hmm.
The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Hopefully we're going to see the liberty movement and the secession, the pro-independence, NHXit, whatever you want to call it, movement here become so large at some point that the media won't be able to focus on, Ian Freeman's involved, he sold Bitcoin. Then there will be other personalities who they'll be able to focus on. And, of course, they will trash those people, too.
Yeah.
But, at least it won't just be me. Let's continue here. Sarah's in New Mexico, because it's definitely not just me. I'm just one guy. I just happened to contact these airlines or whatever, these aerial advertising companies, and found the cheapest one and got into a contract with one of them.
Yeah,
right?
Like, you took initiative like on one thing, and like it's all Ian Freeman. It's hilarious.
Anyone could have done that. Anyway, Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live in New Mexico. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm on it. I got an interesting topic for you. So a woman is suing the Motel 6 here in Albuquerque in Carlisle because she was being raped and human trafficked at the hotel.
Oh, boy.
And none of the, and then how about this? How about none of the employees helped her at all?
How would the employees have known? Was it, like, obvious? Like, what, did this happen in the hallway?
No, I think they assaulted her in the front lobby or something to force her or something like that, and then she asked for help. Mm-hmm. All the people that worked there, she asked for help.
And what were they supposed to do?
Well, mind their own business so they don't get messed up by the human traffickers. That's what they did.
Suing the hotel, or she's suing the employees individually?
She's suing the hotel.
Because they got money.
Right.
That's what she wants. She wants the money.
Well, you know, she feels like they're responsible for that they should have helped. And but
did they call 911? Did somebody call 911?
Nobody did.
Really? What happened to her? How did she end up getting escaped from the grasp of the traffickers?
Well, you know something? I don't have the full detail. And I was thinking, if she's that out of it, if she's strung out on drugs, I mean, if she's got traffic, how is she able to sue? It takes intelligence to sue somebody. I mean,
well, I presume she's off the drugs and she's out of their grasp, and that's why she's suing now.
Well, I was thinking that Dream Center, maybe that's...
Well, she found an attorney.
Yeah.
She could have found an attorney who has the intelligence and the time to, you know, bring the lawsuit. I suspect that's part of what's going on here. Now, I mean, the question is, does a hotel staff have an obligation to protect the people who are at the hotel? And we don't know all the details in regards to what did she say exactly to these hotel staff members. I mean, because if you were to say, please help, I'm being, you know, murdered here or raped or kidnapped or whatever it is that's going on, and someone does nothing, I mean, maybe there is an argument that they should do something. Are they legally obligated to do something?
And you know, the other aspect of this is, like, did the hotel, like, have a policy on it? And if they didn't, is this something that's, like, how is it the hotel's fault? Because an employee of the hotel
didn't do something. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
well, the managers or something like that. But if this is pretty much like state of New Mexico, that human trafficking is so horrible. And the thing is that nobody wants to get involved because the people are so afraid of retaliation. So if you did put these people, human traffickers, to jail, they'll come out and stalk you, cook you for being involved.
Thank you, Sarah, for bringing this topic up. I did pull up a story here. We'll see if we can garner any additional information about it. Coming up here, if you want to comment, you're welcome to join us. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. With Memorial Day travel picking up nationwide, U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said airlines have made improvements since last year.
I want to give them some credit. They have stepped up. They have improved hiring. They've got more realistic schedules. We're a long way from saying we're out of the woods or we're fully comfortable, but we've seen a lot of real progress.
He also noted almost all the top 10 airlines now offer meal and ground transportation vouchers for delays. Federal investigators are looking into a possible hack of Fox News' internal systems that leaked unaired footage of former anchor Tucker Carlson. The Tampa Bay Times reports that the probe is related to an FBI search at social media personality Tim Burke's house. The news comes weeks after several media outlets published unaired footage of Carlson making offensive comments about women. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
We got time for you if you want to join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. And, of course, you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. The number, again, 603-283-6160. As we continue here, it's Ian and Chris in the studio tonight. Coming up later this year, our very own Mark Edge is going to be speaking from a conference in Prague, where he will be October 14th and 15th at the Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference. It's taking place in Prague, and it's the place to go to learn about the free cities, so-called free cities, that they claim will be self-governing territories that uphold individual rights and freedoms. You probably, if you've heard Mark on the show in recent, months or years, you've heard him talking about these concepts. They're getting off the ground, some of them, and representatives from the projects in U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be sharing updates on their progress and explain why you should consider moving there or doing business in a free city. Mark spoke at last year's conference, and he will be back there again speaking this year. You can join him in Prague October 14th and 15th and save 10% on your tickets by using code FTL over at libertyinourlifetime.org. You can learn more and get your tickets there. Let's go to the phones here. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Sarah's call and these kids that were running the lobby at the Ramada Inn or whatever it was there. I mean, you think about the younger generation. What's the first thing that happens when there's any kind of controversy? They pull out their cell phones. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't even want to have a conversation. They talk with their thumbs.
Right.
You think they're ready to go over there and have a fist fight with these guys? Ain't going to happen.
Well, I mean, the people that would be advocating, you're referring to the story in Albuquerque about a Motel 6 where a woman alleges the hotel staff did nothing to help her, including they didn't call the police when she allegedly, according to the story, allegedly made eye contact with one of the hotel clerks and mouthed the words, "Help me," and nothing was done. She's now bringing a lawsuit against the hotel because they didn't do anything. So, let me just play devil's advocate here. I mean, shouldn't the hotel clerk have gone ahead and called the police? I mean, that doesn't mean he has to go over there and attack the alleged human traffickers and break them away from this woman. But couldn't the person just have called the cops and let them deal with it?
Absolutely, they should have called 911.
Well, hold on. What does she mean by, you know, dragged away, first of all, and mouths? Because the person working there might not have understood what she mouthed, because what does that usually mean? Without audio, right? So if you're just looking at, I can't read people's mouths.
I can't read lips. I'm terrible at it. Yeah.
And then, of course, being dragged, was somebody just pulling her on the arm?
That doesn't necessarily mean
to somebody who's watching that she's being forced against her will.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know what it means.
You can recognize terror in a person's face now. Come on.
Not everybody. Some people can, some people can't.
Well, the claim is she was, quote, physically dragged by her trafficker from the reception office to a room located near the back of Motel 6 in clear view of Motel 6 employees and agents. So, yeah, that is a good question. What does it mean she was physically dragged?
Where's the video?
Were her legs on the ground?
Right. It's one thing if somebody is physically being dragged, right? And it's another, like an adult, you know, woman. And if she's just, somebody's pulling her, you know, or taking her by her hand and, you know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Major, so you're saying that you think they could have done something here in this case?
I think they should have done something. Somebody should have done something. If Bruce Willis was behind that desk, he'd be dead.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. And apparently the interesting detail on this story that Sarah didn't have was this particular hotel, it's not the first time. There was a different woman, 20-year-old Albuquerque woman, Toby Lynn Stanfill, was sued the very same hotel in 2020, alleging negligence on the part of the hotel. She was repeatedly beaten, raped, and enslaved at the Motel 6 days before her death. Sorry, it wasn't her that sued. It was her family. The lawsuit alleges she was found dead, lying face down in a pool of blood at a public park with a gunshot wound to the head. The leader of the sex trafficking ring was sentenced to 17 years in prison after pleading guilty to one count of participating in a sex trafficking ring. And Matthew Woods, described as his enforcer, is serving an 18-year federal sentence. In that case, apparently the hotel paid out and settled that particular case, according to a different story here. So this particular hotel is allegedly, according to the Department of Homeland Security, sort of a known hotel for human traffickers. So this is
Motel 6 doesn't have a good reputation. I was only brave enough to stay at one once, but I found crack flake remnants around.
Yeah.
You know, the TV was bolted down. The furniture was bolted down. The only thing that wasn't bolted down was the Gideon Bible in the drawer next to the bed.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is an ugly situation, but I still have to wonder if the individuals here, the hotel staff, can be held liable for this. I mean, obviously, they're not being sued. It's the chain or the owners of the hotel who are being sued.
Is this negligence in that they didn't have a policy on, like, what to do in the case that they, like, I want to know where the liability comes from, because you're effectively trying to hold somebody liable for the actions of a third party.
Or was there even a camera system anywhere in this place?
Is there some obligation for there to be a camera system? I mean, obviously there was a time before cameras.
Well, this is recent, but yeah, I see what you're saying. In this case, the question is there an obligation to act right? Not because the hotel staff didn't do anything. But what is their obligation to do something?
Even if there's an obligation for somebody to do something, is that the hotel, right? And obviously an employee of the hotel maybe should have acted
should
for moral
have.
Reasons
sure.
or even legal reasons. But it's not clear to me that the hotel, you know, the person who owns the hotel, the shareholders, should somehow be liable because an employee, you know, didn't do something.
Right. How can you know what an employee is going to do in any given
right? Like, what contributed to these rapes?
Go ahead, Major.
All they had to do was hit the fire alarm or something. I mean, come on. But I got a dog to fight with you here, Ian. You say you've never been on a debate team? I think we should debate that.
Okay.
I think you are the president of a debate team. You're on a debate every
No,
night.
This isn't a debate show. This is an opinion show. There's a panel discussion here. People here have different opinions. Debate is a structured thing. You know, people take turns. They have a specific amount of time with which to speak. There's a judge. There's an audience. There's a vote before and after.
Now,
this
now
is not a debate.
Now we got to debate the definition of a debate.
That's cute, Major Payne. Thank you for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. If you want to comment here, you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. So the woman in this case has not been identified. The case has been filed as a Jane Doe so far. And, again, she claims she made eye contact, hoping that would stress her desperation, and mouthed the words, "Help me." And certainly if an employee is at a scuzzy hotel, right? Let's just say this is a scuzzy, low-life, low-rent hotel. That's what it sounds like, right? They're saying here in the story that the Department of Homeland Security says this hotel has long been used by traffickers, human traffickers, as a hotbed. So there have been other instances, including another lawsuit a few years ago. So, like, this sounds like a place where you're going to find some real low-life characters. And these people are dangerous, right? If your job is to just check somebody in and not ask too many questions because you know they're either there to do a drug deal or they're there to have sex with a hooker or they're there to, you know, whatever other things that people do in these hotel rooms... it's none of your business, really, what's going on in there. And if you make it your business, they may make you their business. And I suspect that is one reason why, even if the employee did make eye contact with this woman and could read her lips and was able to know, okay, this woman says she needs help, he may have been or she may have been scared to do something. Maybe they know who these people are. Maybe these... guys or whoever it was that had her captive, maybe they're regulars at this hotel, you know? And you know that these guys are a dangerous crew, and you don't want to potentially be considered the one who snitched them out.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, this is the problem with these, or the types of laws that require you to come to assistance, like they passed in, I think, the 90s in Massachusetts.
Are things like
right.
this.
Right. But the problem is, well, what happens if that person, you know, is some sort of heroin, you know, sex trafficker? You know, you are requiring them to put their life in danger at that point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that seems like a moral issue. Like the law is morally flawed.
Of course it is. And no one should have an obligation to act. As you said, Chris, should they have? Maybe they should have. You know, there's an argument from a moral perspective that if you could do something, you should do something.
The problem with this is we're not in a position to judge that employee.
Right.
We don't know what happened. We don't know what the circumstances were.
Yeah, and we don't know.
And the law certainly doesn't.
Yeah. Well, of course, laws don't care about individual circumstances in a lot of cases. And so this is a really tragic story, and I'm sorry to hear about it. Luckily, this woman survived this particular situation, but it's hard to place blame on the individuals in this story who did nothing, because it's probably pretty intimidating dealing with, you know, human traffickers or whatever these guys. They probably look like intimidating characters.
You know, there's some other factors that we also might not be considering here. For example, often police are on the take, you know?
Sure.
So even if this guy had called 911,
maybe nothing would have happened.
He may have already known nothing was going to happen.
Could be.
And his life would have been in danger.
Right. Or if the cops do show up and then the human traffickers want to try to figure out who called the cops, well,
yep,
that's public information, right? That person would be called at a trial, ultimately, later on down the line, in theory.
Yep.
And that's, you know, or they could just make an assumption that it was the front desk clerk and just send one of his buddies after him or something.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was not many people working. This is a Motel 6, right? I mean, these are usually not...
Low staff.
I mean, they're not like... They're not going to have tons... There's probably one staff person working at the front desk.
Yep, especially if it's at nighttime.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Tim. He's in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tim.
I was a night auditor at a hotel. And a different night, maybe I'll tell you how I lost that job because it is related. And it was kind of my dream job, and I was the only employee there. But actually, I called because just before I lost my job, during the Trump administration, there was some sort of, I don't know if it was an executive action or if it was actually passed through the legislature, something passed regarding human trafficking, which included the hotel's responsibility that if they were aware that prostitution is taking place on their premises, that they must notify the police immediately. Otherwise, they'll actually be implicated basically as providing...
This is in Florida?
It's actually federal.
Federal?
Yeah, I think I remember when this happened, when they passed this law, and I thought it was dangerous.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Basically, you know, if you knew that it was happening at your hotel and you didn't say anything...
How would you know?
Then you would actually be considered to be one of the... Not like one of the human traffickers.
What is considered to be knowledge, though? I mean, this would have been, at best, a suspicion, at least according to the case that we're talking about here.
I think the other issue here is, you know, even if you have a policy on this, what happens if the employee doesn't, you know, abide by your policy that requires them to report it? Are you still liable or are you not liable because you had a policy on it?
Well, they let me go, and it wasn't exactly the same situation. I don't even want to get into it. But.
Okay, but what does it mean to have knowledge of the situation, right? Like, if somebody explicitly tells you something, then I guess you have knowledge. But in this case,
I would say a reasonable, you know, what would be considered a reasonable suspicion, like, you know, for example, it's a bunch of things. You know, you can't just profile someone and be sure because, yeah, people dress up like that anymore. It's, you know, not just a prostitute that dresses up like that. But, you know, you take all the facts about the situation, you know, who they're with, you know, what they're talking about. Like, you hear a lot of conversations in the front lobby. And, but, yeah, I don't know. She has some legal grounds to sue the hotel. Whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like they've got a case simply because it already happened previously. There was somebody else who had a similar circumstance, and their family sued, and they got a settlement from the hotel owner in that case. So, yeah, maybe so. Tim, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, I'm going to drop off.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. And what he was saying there is if you you're saying it's a federal law that if you that you have any knowledge of prostitution going on, which is different than human trafficking.
Yeah.
And this is something that...
when they say human trafficking, they're including prostitution.
I know. That's the problem. They... you see this happening all the time in recent years, is whenever there's a discussion about, let's say, legalizing prostitution.
Yep.
I've been to these hearings at the State House. They always act like every prostitute is a human trafficking victim.
Nope, not the case.
And it's like, no, it's a minority of prostitutes. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a minority of them. Because thankfully, there are actual prostitutes that will come in there. And they'll say, I do this because I make money.
And you know, the disturbing part about it is they've actually forced people into the human trafficking business by outlawing things like Backpage, which enabled prostitutes to basically work for themselves as opposed to working for a pimp.
Right. Yep, that's true. And just to be clear, I mean, I don't know what every pimp-prostitute relationship is, but you know, there's no guarantee.
Well, the assumption here is that they're all human. I mean, he's working for a pimp is human trafficking.
Yeah, that's the assumption, you know, but that's not per se true.
Right.
I mean, a pimp can be somebody who provides legitimate protection services to a prostitute and provides clients to the prostitute. So it could be a you scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of situation. You shouldn't jump to a conclusion.
And the humorous thing about that is the problem is the criminalization of sex. That's the problem. If it wasn't criminalized, the pimp wouldn't be a problem because if there was a problem, you could go to the police. But when sex is criminalized or the sale of sex is criminalized, you have a pimp and you can't get out of that relationship because you can't go to the police because then you get arrested.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the solution here is, as you're suggesting here, to end the prohibition on prostitution in the same way that the solution to the war or the problem with drugs is to end the war on drugs. You end prohibition and you can bring these products and services into the light. You can bring them into the light of a relatively free market. Even a regulated market is better than, you know, what we have now with people risking STDs and risking prison and risking their lives in order to do this business. And it's a business that's not going to go away. You know, they call it the oldest profession for a reason. It's been around for a very, very long time. And no amount of undercover sting operations and however many millions of dollars they've been pouring into enforcement on this over the years, no amount of it is going to end prostitution. And we've all seen the stories of prostitutes getting picked up, getting arrested, getting maybe a little bit of time in jail, right back out on the streets to go back to doing prostitution because that's what they know. That's how they make money. They can make way better money at that than working a job at Walmart
or whatever. You know, the disturbing thing, too, is the police know this. They know when they arrest the prostitutes.
They're going back out.
They're just
going
to go right back out there once they're released. You know, even before there's a trial or, you know, there probably will never be a trial. But, you know, before there is some sort of conviction, those prostitutes are back out there on the street working the job.
Sure.
You know, it's not like you've actually done anything to stop prostitution by arresting them.
They're just padding their arrest records.
Yep.
And prosecutions padding their conviction records.
It's really absolutely disgusting that, you know, to protect and serve, but it's not to protect and serve you. It's not to protect and serve the prostitutes. It's to protect and serve the government, the establishment. Yep.
And in this case, they're not really protecting any business, right? Like normally with regulations, there's an industry that is promoting the regulations so they can restrict competition. But considering this industry is completely illegal, who are they really protecting here?
Yeah, it's not even like the drug industry, like the legal drug industry,
right, like pharmaceuticals
or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. It's a good question. You know, there is an industry that maybe benefits potentially from the prohibition, possibly with maybe arresting pimps. Maybe a pimp would get some time in a cage, and the prison industrial complex would, you know, because there's private prisons that benefit. So maybe there is some, you know, somebody making money off it, but I don't know.
Not directly. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a stretch. It's probably true to
and
some extent.
There is another group that's making money off of it, for sure, 100% guaranteed. I can tell you this with 100% certainty. That is the law enforcement officers themselves, because they need to make it look like there's crime in order to justify their paycheck.
Yep, that's true. The number here is 603-283-6160. I did say we were going to talk about the library case. Just a quick update here. They have filed what should be the final filing in this years-long civil case that the folks over at Library, which is an amazing media sharing protocol. You can go to lbry.com to learn more about it. It still exists, by the way. The protocol, it's not going away, as much as that might upset the Securities and Exchange Commission that brought a lawsuit against Library a few years ago. The Library case, unfortunately, was lost by Library and won by the SEC. But the final remedy, or whatever they call this particular portion of the case, it's essentially the sort of like the sentencing in a criminal case, but it's a civil case, so there's another term that I'm losing right now. I think it also starts with a S. It's not sentencing. Settlement. I think it's called a settlement. So this is the settlement, quote unquote, in this case. Not that the case was settled before trial, but that they're settling the details of who gets punished.
It's such a weird choice of words when you've been found, because you weren't found guilty, but
right. Responsible or
yeah,
whatever.
Liable, I guess.
Liable. So what's happening now is both sides, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and Library are filing, or have filed now, their final legal arguments on what the settlement should be. What should the details be of this situation? What should the court issue as a final order in this case? The SEC filed theirs within the last couple of weeks, and it essentially said, we want $111,000, and we want Library to, you know, disband. We want them to burn their library credits, which they said they were going to do. They dropped the demand for $22 million, I think it was, in that case, because they acknowledged that Library doesn't have that kind of money, and so there's no way they're going to be able to get that blood from the stone.
I think if it's a civil case, it would be defaulted, or in bankruptcy, it would go away. So I bet you that's why. And if it was criminal, it wouldn't be.
I see.
So that's probably why they
bailed on that.
Yeah, they bailed on that.
The Library filing just came in today, and it's 7 pages. They have a few points here, and the main point is they are arguing still, and I guess this hasn't been decided yet, that the commission, the SEC, lacks authority to regulate digital assets or impose relief. And they bring up what's called the major questions doctrine. So I'm just going to read this excerpt here. It says, it forecloses the commission's efforts to regulate digital assets, including LBC, and impose injunctive and monetary relief without specific congressional authorization. Courts consistently presume that, quote, Congress intends to make major policy decisions itself, not leave those decisions to agencies. And then they cite a 2022 case, West Virginia versus the EPA. This was the case that actually got brought up in the Crypto 6 case. It was dismissed, I think, in our motion. But essentially it says that an agency's assertion of, quote, unheralded regulatory power over a significant portion of the American economy presents a major question. Meaning that a clear statement from Congress is necessary to authorize an agency to exercise powers of vast economic and political significance. And so they're essentially saying here that the SEC does not have that authority. They do not have the authority to regulate cryptocurrency. It's not anywhere in the law. And so they want the court to make a statement about that in their final judgment. And then they also want to ensure that Odyssey and other LBC users are not going to be targeted by the SEC. And also that consumptive sales of LBC, the library credits, are not prohibited, meaning that individuals selling and buying library credits to one another wouldn't be targeted by the SEC. They want the court to do all this. Keep an eye on the case. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.